Welcome to the Quack Hole Podcast, the most official, unofficial Oregon Ducks podcast on the web footosphere. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Quack12Podcast or visit our website, quack12podcast.com. If you like what you hear, please leave us 5 stars on your listening device. And if you'd like to support the show, please visit the Quack 12 Patreon page, where for a measly $5 a month, you can become an official Quacker and unlock hundreds of hours of Oregon Duck content. On to the show. Quack. Quack.
Quack.
Quack.
Quack.
Quack. Quack. Quack. Quack.
Quack. Quack.
Quack.
12 and...
Oh!
I'm your host, Adam Jameo.
And I'm your other host with the most ghosts in the floor to boast.
Yes, that's right. That was absolute gibberish. I did talk over your name, though. That is Aaron Schroeder, and this is the Quacktuff Podcast, the most official, unofficial Oregon Ducks podcast on the web footosphere. And Aaron.
Yes, sir.
We suck at women's basketball. Let's jump right into it.
Quacksball. Quacksball. Quacksball.
Oh. Aaron,
yo,
we made history.
Okay, look, before you dive into the better moments of the game,
that'll be quick.
Let me just say, it's really tough to expect to win a game when the team literally has Batwoman on their squad. Batwoman's not even actually the best player they've got.
Yeah.
Batwoman's just the one to tire you out in the beginning with deep threes and fucking layups.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, oh, peesh.
I believe you're talking about Jalen Sherrod with the awesome Batman mask. Good mask. Really good mask.
I would be wearing a mask even if I didn't have, you know, any kind of broken nose problem or whatever.
Yeah, it'll protect you.
Feel invincible.
She upgraded that mask right before she played us, too. She had a worse mask. Yeah,
which,
yeah.
You know, that is some classic bat person type shit, which
that
is that
true.
As soon as you have to go take on the actual bad guy,
mm-hmm.
you do some crucial updates.
That's what makes Batman Batman, is that he's got the specific gadget to undo your ass. Like, he's got an anti-freeze spray.
Right.
Or Mr. Freeze.
Interesting that that's the one you went to.
Mr. Freeze, yeah. Why not? One time I saw him fight in a cartoon. I saw him fight someone that was the other dimension version of him called Owl Man. So the only difference was this is a Batman that basically Batman, you know, that is mm-hmm. exactly like him, but better. And somehow Batman still beat his ass. That's how good Batman is. And
well, you know,
yes.
Yeah, interesting.
This is how little I want to talk about this game is that
right,
I'm willing
right,
to just dive
right.
into a Batman cartoon I saw once.
Full disclosure, I gotta let the people know.
Let's
this
do it.
Game hurt
yeah.
me so bad
mm-hmm.
that during the first quarter, I was looking up said player. I believe you said her name was Sherrod.
Yep. Jalen Sherrod.
I was like, okay, I got to look up what her stats are in this game because she's coming out of the gate swinging. And it turns out through that, I saw what the final score was. And then I saw the quarterly breakdown of how happened.
Yeah.
And then I saw that the Sherrod person was not, in fact, their leading scorer.
No.
But that was yet another person. And
well, Jalen Sherrod
is. I immediately left. I was like, well, I can't watch this anymore because this is going to suck.
A player like Jalen Sherrod, she's the kind of what happens where it's like she's been there forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she stuck with the program when they were less good and now, you know, getting better and better every year under J.R. Payne. It's the kind of player you get, you know, when the program has been established, the culture's been established, and she wants to be a part of it. And, you know, like, she's returned year after year, and she gets better, knows the system more. It's what we would have had if those five stars maybe wouldn't have transferred out. Or maybe we wouldn't have had it, because that's the problem, seemingly, is that he hasn't been able to really maintain a culture here, which resulted in a loss. That is right. We needed...
Tough,
you know,
to watch.
It was incredibly tough to watch. This was they saved their worst for last. And to be fair, it's against a team that is very quality. Like, even though this is the fifth seed, this is the best conference in America for women's basketball. And so the fifth seed.
See, that makes me feel fucking great.
Yeah, sure. But we're the bottom. You know,
that doesn't matter.
It matters a little, right?
No. Like I said, we got so much talent inside the Pac-12.
Yeah.
That I think it's a fine idea to pivot into support for just the Pac-12 in general moving forward for the remainder of the year, of course.
See, you've said this. You said this
because, as we all know, The team wasn't designed to be a competitor.
Yeah, but the thing is, we're not even designed to be a good stepping stone right now. Like, Colorado dismantled us and then lost their next game. So no one got any momentum by beating us.
That's hilarious. Yeah. And so that was the end of Colorado. Wow.
I mean, it was a great game. They play, honestly, this whole Pac-12 women's tournament, it's a shame that we are so, so, so bad, because the whole thing was competitive. Mm-hmm. So many overtime games. The Colorado-Oregon State game was amazing. The awesome. Oregon State-Stanford game was amazing. The USC-UCLA game went to double overtime. USC... upset number one Stanford to win it all.
Wow.
It was a great tournament, except for this absolute dog shit game
opener
that started it. Now, this game
launch, as you will.
Exactly. And so here's some program records. This was our 14th straight loss, which
cool.
Oregon women's basketball has had a rough history. Like, the absolute high point has happened under Kelly Graves. Like, and those are some pretty high highs.
Yeah.
And then the lows were like we had a 4-win season in, like, you know, like a while back, 2000 and something. Before Kelly Graves, we had a 4-win season. So there has been lower lows. But we have never lost 14 games in a row. Yeah. Never have we done that. Officially, we have now.
Adam. So,
yes.
There have been lower lows, but never have we ever lost 14 in a row.
No, we have not.
That's
not
some
only,
Dr. Seuss shit.
That's some Dr. Seuss shit, absolutely. And, like, you could almost say it's like a lower low, too, because it's like, even though the elevation is higher than the 4-win season, we're still kind of coming off that 2020 high, which was like Mount Everest high. So plummeting from Mount Everest to, like, even, you know, above sea level is still really pretty, like, drastic.
I don't want to be rude or mean.
Feel free.
Or say anything bad.
Absolutely, you can.
Because it is about growth and building.
I guess.
But this season didn't feel too much different to a 4-win season.
Yeah, I mean, it's an 11-win season.
Maybe, you know, like, if we were to really break down the whole season for the team, there's probably only 4 games in there that you go, well, that's an obvious win. That's an obvious win. That's an obvious win. The rest of these are maybe?
I don't know if you remember this, but I was saying this from the get-go that, like, when we hit Pac-12 play for this women's team, before we played a single game, I was like, there's a stretch here, and honestly, the whole thing may be real fucking bad.
I remember it, because, at that time, let's reminisce, let's go down memory lane.
Yeah.
At that time, you were like, the next six games
yeah.
are going to be a real test. And then everything after that, depending on how these six games go, yeah. will be
like automatic losses. Yeah. Like yeah,
yeah.
Like,
and then guess like, what? Guess what it was? Wow.
Yep. I mean, we got our wins. It's to the point where we can just look back and like, hey, let's look at our wins.
So, yeah.
We started off with a 34 point win against NAU, then like a 26 point win UAPB. We beat Grand Canyon by 8 fucking points. Like, these are not schools we should be. These should be even bigger blowouts. Nevada, we beat by like 30 points. Idaho, we beat by 8 points. The Idaho Vandals, we beat by 8 points.
That
Portland
seems like
State,
they would be good.
No,
I always imagine the Vandals are good.
You do. You also imagine that they're in the Pac-12 conference, which they are not.
I also think they're in the one we're going to.
Big Ten, which are also
Yeah, I am
not.
Having the worst time remembering Big Ten.
Idaho Vandal, I think they're in the Big Sky or something like that. Like, they are really low. They are not on our same level. Then there's some more. I mean, there's just absolutely nothing schools. I mean, UTSA, that's something. Oklahoma State, that is maybe our biggest win. And then our two Pac-12 wins, ASU, which was the 11th placed team out of the 12. So they were the one team that was almost worse than us but ended up better. And then Arizona, somehow we beat Arizona by 2 points, which is kind of a miracle looking back mm-hmm. at it. And those were really early Pac-12 games. Since then, we have not been competitive, or nope. We've been competitive in some. Like, we almost beat Oregon State, but they pulled away. Like, it wasn't really that close. And when it came down to it, we had to win the entire Pac-12 tournament to make March Madness.
Yeah,
so
sure.
So impossible that we didn't really talk about it, but that was a possibility, I guess. However, instead, what we did was we lost by 49 goddamn points,
yep.
which is, in fact, another record.
Oh, great.
It is the largest loss in Pac-12 tournament history.
Cool.
The
so
largest
glad to close
loss.
The fucking Pac-12 book with that.
I know, right? Like,
yeah, that's literally the end.
The
Shut
end.
Book.
The
that's the history
end.
Of the Pac-12.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong, buddy. The stat lines in this are worth mentioning because they are like bonkers. They're so bad. Aaron,
okay,
how many three-pointers do you think we hit?
Two.
One.
Your eyes close.
We had about 1 minute and 40 seconds left in the fucking game.
When we hit the
when
one.
When we hit our only three-pointer.
Cool.
Percentage wise, how many what percentage field goals do you think we got?
24.
Close. 18%.
Ooh.
Yeah, this was an absolute
super low numbers.
Not only that, but like, we're a bigger team, like a much bigger team than
but
Colorado.
Exhausted.
Oh yeah, we're way thinner, yes, but like depth wise. But we are a much like actually taller team.
Mm-hmm.
We were out-rebounded.
Mm-hmm.
Get ready for this one. 54-28.
Mm-hmm.
You're just... The fact that Colorado was already... I mean, there were times where Colorado was actually pretty bad on offense, and our defense was holding up. It was just that our offense was so putrid, and that our rebounding was so bad. That they would collect their misses, and it's like, oh, don't worry, you're gonna get another shot. You're gonna get another shot at a three pointer. Like even if the second quarter they didn't do very well, but our offense was so nothing that they had plenty that they eventually were able to collect themselves and like
boy.
Get more points. I've never seen a game this bad against two teams that are supposed to theoretically be on the same level. Because not only that, like you were saying, the amount of points scored like per quarter was nuts. They yeah. outscored us 26-7 in the first quarter.
Yeah.
12-4. So we right. held them to only 12 in the second quarter, but They held us to goddamn 4 points. And we had...
So gross.
Yeah. We had 4 made field goals at the half. 4. That means we only made 4 shots at the half.
You go into the locker room...
Down 38-11.
I mean, what do you do? This is it, right? It's the final game. It's the tournament. You're not going anywhere. You're done playing basketball now.
Yeah.
If going into that, going in there, I would be so done.
I think
that I would be like,
yeah,
Coach Kelly.
Yeah.
Call it. I don't want to go back out. I'd prefer to go home.
Graves did.
Am
too.
I a loser? Does that mean I'm a loser?
I guess so.
I'm a bad loser is what I am. What I should do is hold my head up high, go back out for 2 more quarters, which I think should be 2 halves, but whatever.
Yeah, well, I mean, there are 2 halves. They just have 2 quarters in each of them.
Yeah, I don't get it. Does the NBA have 4 quarters or 2 halves?
NBA, only one that has 2 halves is men's college basketball.
They should change that one then.
I agree. It doesn't make any sense.
It must be a commercials thing.
This game was goddamn terrible. This game was absolutely abysmal.
Absolute trash.
Grace Van Sluten, our best player, was 2 of 13 from the floor.
Okay. Hey, you know what? I can't do this. Can we, before we go into all the grimy dimes,
yeah,
can we focus on something positive and just tell me like what we have to look forward to?
Okay, okay, here we go. Something positive about this game.
Yes.
Our bench scored more than 0 points.
Great.
Because they scored
4.
5.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Another positive thing, as of right now, no player has announced that they're going to transfer, but at the same time, there's been some interviews where they've basically been asked that, like Grace Van Sluten, and their answers aren't unlike the answers that, like, a Willie Taggart or a Mario Cristobal gave when they were like, hey, are you going to leave? And they're like, yeah, I don't know why I would. I don't know why I would leave. Like, kind of that thing where you're like,
okay.
Which I wouldn't blame her. I think she should leave, honestly. Good for her.
I'm going to be, okay, what is this again? Right, okay. So Aaron is leaving. Ryan is coming in. This is Ryan speaking now.
Okay. Ryan with the hot
takes. I don't
know
that any player I saw on that court if I was a coach for another team, I would go, why would I want you? What did you do this season that merits? I mean, outside of Che's continual double-doubles that anywhere else would probably help lead to victories.
Well, a lot of places... Well, Filipino Che also didn't have a great game. 6 points,
right.
6 rebounds.
I'll tell you this.
This is the thing, dude. This is the thing. That's bonkers.
Is
so many players that... just look absolutely dog shit here while they're here. The second they go to another team, are absolutely killing it. I mean, the easiest example is Tahina Pau-Pau in South Carolina. Someone
whose stats.
It's not about stats.
If I was a coach, look, oh.
It's the players. They're watching game film. They're not just looking at stats.
Okay.
They're watching Grace Van Sluten give it like all these little fundamental things that are great, and including Tahina Pau-Pau.
She's so good out there.
If you looked at Tahina Pau-Pau's stats last year, you'd be like, why would I want this player? She can't shoot the 3. That's supposed to be what she's able to do. She's a point guard for a losing team.
Mm-hmm.
This is a lot somewhat like a Chance Gray. Like Chance Gray, you're like not a great 3-pointer or a decent, but not someone that you want to go desperately for. But
yeah,
the second...
Yeah. It's There's moments where you're like, I don't know why the announcers are saying they're depending on her for 3s because she's not dependable.
No, dude, they're right. But also, that's I mean, we are depending on her, and also she's not hitting them.
What's up with that?
It's because literally we have one, we have two people, really, two starters that have been deemed decent enough to shoot, to have the go to shoot a three-pointer whenever you think you're open. Ula Chamberlain and Chance Gray. Neither of them are doing very well with that. And I think a big part of that is because, specifically with Chance Gray, like, other teams are like, make sure she doesn't hit the three. Make sure Filipina Che gets doubled, and that's the game. We'll win. That's it. Period. And when
Which
you have
why
one
Pow Pow
person,
was also having a tough
yeah,
time
exactly.
here, but as soon as she goes somewhere else where it's a stronger everything else. Then...
Yeah, where this team around her is built, and like we're not where the other team doesn't have to be like, take Pow Pow out of it. Boom.
Right.
Done. Like...
They have to go man-to-man rather than zone or whatever. They're
yeah,
like, okay,
exactly.
Everybody is a fucking threat. Stay on your fucking person and make sure they don't.
Yeah, and like it's just easier if you have more people like Pow Pows and more Chance yeah. Grays and more Grace Van Slootens on your team. The pressure is less on you. You're getting cleaner passes to you. You know, like everything, rebounding's doing better. Like, it's all these little things. I mean... Tiana Pow Pow is on the number one team in the country. They just beat LSU, who was, you know, last year's winner. Like,
wow.
it's yeah. And it's not just her. There's Jazz Shelley. Jazz Shelley, we could have said the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. Angela DeGolick, who's on UCLA. She's
They're
fucking
both
killing
great.
It. Yeah. Sedona Prince, I'm sure, is having a better time, even though she's still fighting through injuries and stuff like that. And, like, TCU isn't doing great. Like, they're all doing great. Tiana Pow Pow was, I mean, I don't know. She didn't have a great game her last game, but she still got 12 points, still won the thing, still starting. It's literally getting to the point where it's obviously Graves. Like, it is obviously the system, the talent, people are leaving. The talent we're bringing in isn't enough, and it isn't being fully utilized. And this is me. This is like all my silver linings, man. This is all I got.
Yeah. You know, okay, so we know we're stuck with him, right? That contract is too long.
Yeah.
And the
we
money
still got another 5 years
sense.
Or so on it.
Yeah. So we got to look at the people he surrounds himself with. Talking assistant coaches, I'm talking personal trainers. It's time to find out from them what kind of man Kelly Graves actually is as a coach.
Well, it's interesting, man, because like the staff, I agree. Usually, if it's like if you have a historically bad season like this, usually you go like, okay, and if we're not going to fire the head coach, you would hope the head coach makes some moves. Whether it's recruiting, which right now isn't exactly lighting things up. We have some, you know, we have that interesting prospect from Garfield High School, but that's
it.
Well, but one quick second.
Yeah.
The other thing is, like, you would shake up your coaching staff,
sure.
You know, is a possibility. But usually for him, he's been so loyal with the same coaching staff.
Yeah,
that I'm not saying it's a bad idea to shake it up, but it would be a
this
big
is a man.
Shake up. Yeah,
this is a man. This mm-hmm. is this is what we're dealing with. It's a guy who got the job that he was content with, and then he got that job to be content with him, and so there's a level of complacency. It's like. You know, it's like whenever a fucking professor gets tenure. It's like, well, now I'm here. I'll do whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah.
Who gives a shit? Why would I fire anybody? I don't care. They're all making good money. That seems fine to me.
I'm going to misquote it, but there's like a quote in Barry Lyndon where it says like, I'm totally quote misquoting it, but it's like, there's two different kinds of talents almost, you know, where it's like there's the talent to like kind of rise the ranks and like grab what you've like never like what you've always wanted, you know. That is one skill. And then there's another skill to keep the stuff that you have. And a lot of times those aren't the same skill. You know what I mean?
Right.
Maybe no, program is... building and maintaining a program are two different things.
Yeah. It's a personality. Okay, look, Ryan's coming back out for a hot second.
Uh-oh, hot take Ryan.
It's a personality type that seems like really they would have been just fine at any job as long as they had the financial security of 40 hours a week and the ability to pay a mortgage. You know what I mean? Like, the job doesn't fucking matter. It's more the security part. That is, you know what I mean? Like, that's the personality type. It's like, I'm just going to be safe and make sure my nest egg is always, like,
I'll tell you, a lot of the quotes are like, I'm not worried about it.
Yeah.
Like, I would be, but I guess.
Tough game to watch.
Yeah, tough game to watch. I watched that from the sideline.
It's like, you got some, dude, pass the cheddar and sour cream chips.
Yeah.
I'm a little hungry, too.
I think it's more like, also, he recruited, a living basketball god, and now he doesn't have her.
Yeah.
And maybe it's a little harder when you don't have the goat.
You know.
Anyways.
And you put his face up there, and now I feel bad because I got the face to the trash talk I've been giving. And I got to say, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. That's why I'm curious to learn more about the coaching staff in general.
Yeah. We'll see if there's any shakeups.
We got to figure out. We got to figure out what the actual the fault line is. It's just like how in the press conference, homeboy was like, my fault.
Oh, Dana
had injuries, and I was afraid of more injuries, so we practiced soft.
Yeah.
My bad. I should have, you know, that's not what you're supposed to do.
It is interesting.
Because he got very dad-y in that press. You know, like, I'm
got very
afraid
zaddy
for these
even.
Kids getting hurt.
Yeah.
Because now we are, like, now they are seeing the prospect of what money actually does and looks like in this situation. So it's like, you want to be careful with them more.
Mm-hmm. And you refer to Dana Altman's post-game press conference, basically post-regular season press conference.
Right.
It's on our Twitter right now. Go check that out. It was really heartfelt. He took a lot of, like you said, like the blame.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly more blame than like Kelly Graves is taking right now.
Right.
though, to be fair, I think Graves is in the part where he's like, I need to just say that there's some potential that will get better. Like,
I think Graves needs to take about 4 months off.
Well, he will.
Right, and he needs to recalibrate. I think he needs to
recruit
lost.
His fucking ass off is what he needs to do. If we don't get better players on this team next year, believe it or not, will be worse.
Here's what we got to do.
Yeah.
Here's what we got to do, Adam. You're going to be our recon man on this to figure out how we can make it happen since you're on site.
Okay.
We gotta find the dirtiest, gnarliest hippie, and we gotta buy an eighth of mushrooms off that guy.
Bill Walton.
We gotta then make a very potent mushroom tea.
Okay.
Sneak it into the coach's office.
Yes.
Do the switcheroo-ski with his Earl Grey.
Mm-hmm. It's Chance Grey.
And let the man go on one of the hardest, most revelatory psychedelic adventures any mortal's ever gone on. He'll come back with the goddamn iPhone. You know what I'm saying?
What you're saying, Aaron, is that we need to get the spice.
Yeah, we need the spice.
We need the melange. The melange
okay,
of life.
I would love
the water
to,
of
if,
life.
I feel like this has been enough women's downtrottery.
Yep.
Can we
honestly
breeze?
Enough women's basketball for the fucking year because I'm fucking done with it. And I'm glad they're not in the NIT. I assume they're not.
Right.
Because that, I mean, they would lose the first game they played. So it doesn't
matter. The women are not in the NIT. There's just no way.
I would assume not. This is a garbage team. Full of a handful of actually pretty good players that I hope stick around, but I would be honestly thrilled for them if they landed in a better spot, because it'd just be better for them for a million reasons, probably. Anyway, so that was terrible to watch. Let's talk. So last time we talked, last week, I was pretty afraid that this episode would be recapping three losses.
Correct.
And we almost got there, Aaron, because Oregon men's basketball, to be fair, they were also playing two, because they're still in the regular season, they just wrapped it up, two pretty tough opponents, ranked third and fifth at the time in the Pac-12 standings. We were ranked fourth. Like, very tough opponents. Both of them were at home. Really good home crowd. Even Dylan Brooks himself was there, which is very nice to see. They played against Colorado, actually basically the same time women's played. I think the next day or something. I forget. Next day, you're right. This game, we had a 12-point lead quick. Dante was fucking perfect, basically, man.
I mean, oh, my God.
Yeah. He's a great player, great human being. Altman was praising him like he's the greatest guy in the world. Again, watch that 8-minute interview, because he really has a lot to say about Dante, now how he's the heart of the team.
And you can kind of feel that, especially. And you know what really bums me out is that Dante's gone.
Yeah.
Because it was only in these last few games, and it felt like the language was being learned in this Colorado game to be more of a muscle reflex than a language barrier.
Yeah,
between he and
Shellstad.
Yeah. Like, their ability to have Shellstad scare the shit out of you that he's about to pop off a three,
yeah,
but then he just does a quick lob up to Dante to pop in two.
Ooh, oh, my
it's
God.
It's like,
yeah,
damn it. Damn it. If we had one off season of them just brothering up on that, like, you know, on that intellectual. Oh, because
it was amazing.
So fun to watch. Such big moments in that first stretch.
Yeah.
It felt like. But that does always concern me, because I feel like we're usually going to win when we look a little slow out of the gate, but pick it up in the last 10 minutes of the first half.
Yeah, Colorado
kind of went the other way.
This Colorado is a good team. They were missing actually one of their best players, but Colorado is a good team. They rallied back very quickly to the point where by the halftime it was a full-on game. And then this was just a battle full way through.
Yeah.
Defensively, we really slipped up. And I think this is where what Altman said, you know, after the next game really comes to light. As in, he said, like, over these last 2 years, so many injuries, it's kind of made him a little gun-shy in practice. Where he said this over the years, and we've commented on it, where it's like he's practicing soft on purpose because he's horrified that there was going to be more injuries, which so many of them took place during practice, and it's made it so our defense has been a little soft.
And
it's hard to click in this late.
I think it is a tough call for him to blame himself on that one, when actually what he's doing is just quite possibly a reaction to how bad high school coaches treat kids.
Well,
so they are pushing them into these places to where by the time they get to college, they are more prone to injury because they've already been overloaded by fucking some numbnuts dropout gym teacher.
Coming out, we'll say that was Ryan. Coming out against high school gym teachers. I love it. No, but I mean, I think a part of it is also that it's just like, dude, it's just luck sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just stand on the
– well,
God damn. And we are – they've shown this. We are one of – yeah. I mean, well, some of it is that, but some of it was literally – a lot of it happened in the off season. Yeah, one of it's a sickness.
Which is crazy.
A couple of it happened literally before game one. you know? Some of it happened in game one. And there's this chart that I've been seeing around where it's like most lost minutes, you know, by a team. Mm-hmm. And Oregon is literally like off the charts. We've
what
had
is lost minutes exactly.
As in like these players were going to be starters, but we're counting like what, you know, they would have had 40 minutes in this game, but they were injured, so they had zero.
Wow.
So they're counting that. We've had the most lost minutes. We are off the charts with like players that should have been getting it, whether they're starters or off the bench. Yeah, and it's unfortunate, but
that just shows you the resiliency of the team that we have.
I agree. And like this team, even though it's amazing how like Dana Altman is just in such a somber mood, really taking 100% of the blame, putting it on himself, when this is still a 20-win season. We're fourth place in the Pac-12. We still get that first game bye. Even with this Colorado loss, we got the bye before we got into the next game because Utah lost, UCLA lost, so we were solidified, locked. We actually could have just rested everybody for this next Utah game, and no one would have blamed us. I'm glad we didn't, but right. Like, because we were locked in the fourth. So it's we still really accomplished something, honestly, especially with all these injuries. Our offense really can sometimes just be lights out. Like, Cousinard almost won us this game. We rallied back. It was a one-point game for a minute. Cousinard went for the late three. Missed it. It really hurt him. You could tell too. Like,
yeah.
I still love this team. It's kind of weird that, like, even with Dante, Dante's played 5 years. He could still, I think, with COVID and with medical stuff, he could maybe come back. And with NIL money, maybe he would.
It's an interesting quandary because I could see how that one extra year, now that he has, like I said earlier, developing that language, you know what I mean, like that, mm-hmm. There's a higher level communication happening.
Yeah,
I think you saw it in one of the plays.
And physical memory.
Well,
physical memory, physical memory too. Yeah,
you'd see how it could be smart, because getting that extra amount of time could very well really make him look strong in the NBA, but at that point, he's already old. He's got a major injury that would always be a problem.
Couple major injuries, yeah.
So, I don't. What if I'm Dante? I would have to seriously consider about going to the NBA now
if he can, or overseas. Overseas, you're still getting good money. Yeah.
And let's be honest about this. I don't know that this is a time in history when, like, you should be like, oh, yeah, I'll go to Russia or China to play basketball as American.
Maybe not. I mean, the name China, you know, ain't bad.
Oh,
Just don't bring your vape pen to Russia.
I think once China takes over the world, we'll have universal health care and all the stuff we want.
Oh, there you go.
I'm not opposed. I'm just saying it's a tough time in the climate. You know, I would maybe want to, like, maybe I would stay an extra year in college and just pretend like everything's fine.
I'll tell you this, man. This is, again, like, one of the things why you love fucking Dante. Not only is he, like, running down the court and, like, dunking on an awesome alley-oop and then doing a fun little shimmy dance. That's awesome.
Dude. Yeah.
But not only that, but, like, this is the first year that he's gotten any money, real money, you know, for playing basketball, because it's the first year of NIL. And you know what he spent a huge chunk of his NIL money on? He spent
restoring
that money.
Restoring a neighborhood community center.
Better. He spent it on getting a house for his mom in Mali.
Sure.
Which, you know, like, You know, his home in Mali, like, that is a big, you know, that's obviously, like, what he's playing for. But also, there's, like, big chunks where he hadn't been able to return for, like, a year plus at a time, because mm-hmm. obviously that's an expensive flight and stuff like that. So he's making life better for his immediate family in Mali. And like, so another year of NIL money with some good momentum with like Shellstad, Kuzner probably not coming back, but maybe, who knows? Like, there's a lot of good potential.
Wait, Shellstad's not coming back?
Probably not, because Shellstad, I mean, no, Shellstad is. Shellstad is. I said Kuznart, probably not.
Oh.
But Kuznart, I'm looking right now. Though. Oh, Kuznart's gone. This is his sixth season, so
right.
he actually is gone. But
okay, that's what I thought, because it'll be like, what's-his-face, his freshman.
Yeah. Shellstad's the, yeah.
I mean, we're pre-goading him right now, you know what I mean? Oh. Like, he's gonna be a fucking fire starter that I think if Dante stuck around, if Bigsby sticks around, dude, that kid will
Bigsby?
Be.
Are you talking about Rigsby?
Rigsby.
Yeah, we had a Bigsby at one point.
I want to call him Bigsby because it's the cool guitar whammy bar.
That one. There's Taylor Bigsby.
I think Rigsby could be a fucking little monster.
Oh, yeah. Dude, Rigsby is so interesting where there are some games where it's like, oh, is he our best offensive player? And then there's some where it's like, he's averaging about 20% on the floor.
But what his actual talent is,
mm-hmm.
is he...
Best white man dunks you ever seen in your life.
Well, yeah, but... What he's showing, I think, is that by his, because he's also a freshman, right?
I think he's a sophomore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he's right on step then. He's gonna be that guy.
He's a junior. Sorry, but continue.
He's gonna be that. Oh, he's already a junior.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he should be that guy then, and he kind of is. That is good enough.
Mm-hmm.
At all the positions that he's annoying to deal with. And so it helps free up higher level talent to really start honing in.
I think, you know, defensively, I mean? He really needs to step it up. And
defensively?
Then, yeah, I think
sure,
it could
but,
help
you know,
him out
a
bit.
He's a little guy.
Yeah, he's a little guy. And then sometimes it's just like he can't miss from three, and then he's making like the most athletic dunks you've seen in like the whole game. So
sometimes he's running down the court with a shoe in his hand and swapping it around.
I mean, there is a team here that I still have faith in this team. Yeah, it's just the injuries have ravaged us, but it doesn't mean that the next step is impossible. I mean, let's cover really quickly. And also, I want to point this out. And Dana Altman has been just, when you're seeing him rage on the. On the, you know, like on the side, you know, like it's usually because the refs aren't calling three people draped over Dante
yes.
while he's trying to score. Not
right.
calling that, but then on the other side of the court, him playing legit defense and then being called for a foul for fucking everything.
Right. Is this the Colorado game?
This is every game he's played this season.
Oh,
my
sure.
dog.
Because I mean, Utah.
Yeah.
When we get to when well, you're
let's,
ready to
let's
get to
the Utah. Let's get
oh,
to
okay.
Utah.
Okay. My main feeling here was I was watching a Utah team that was aggressively flopping constantly and getting it.
Yeah.
To where I'm like, this is not actually even basketball. This is the most boring, like it like there was moments of actual anger.
Oh,
I had
it,
towards the establishment of being a Ute and what that meant. Where I was,
and you
like,
love the Utes,
exactly,
typically.
Adam, and that's why it was like, what is happening to me? Two players, two dudes, both wearing their little headband things. One of them supposedly like one of the best shots in
Carlson, probably Brandon Carlson. Yeah.
Yeah, he got injured. That really does suck.
That does suck.
But also a flop maestro up to that point. And then the other dude that had his little man bun, which is like, bro, it's not 2010 anymore. Get the man bun out. he was flopping constantly, and I was just sick of it. Ugh.
Flops suck, man. Like,
and just watching them be so stupid about it and then get it, and then you're watching frustration from like Cousinard and Dante, who were like, I'm literally trying to play the game.
Yeah.
All I'm trying to do is play the fucking game.
I get it, man. There is nothing more. I mean, because like football, that is like one good thing. That is one good thing you can say about football is there's really, I mean, there's kickers flopping, but overall, there's really no reason to be like flopping in football, you know?
Right. Yeah.
In soccer, it's absolutely the worst. Like, yeah. Oh my God, soccer is truly
I felt
the worst.
Like it's mellowed down there maybe in recent years. I know there was periods.
It may have mellowed down, but it's
okay,
still like,
maybe
it's
not.
Still
I really
terrible.
Don't watch the sport.
So. Basketball, though, like, there's still reason to flop. Like, and you should still do it. It's not as bad. Check out this. This is one of our, speaking of Dylan Brooks, one of our greatest players of all time. This is him doing one of our greatest worst flops of all time.
This was
not called, and probably he should have been given a foul for this because it was such a bad flop. But check this out. I've always loved this one. He flies like 10 feet away. It's so good. So good. I love it.
I mean,
it's part of the game, unfortunately. But
no, it's not.
I
no,
mean,
it's
it is
not.
A part
it's
of the game.
It's something that was adopted from football/soccer.
Well, yeah, it makes sense, you know.
Yeah, it's like you want to utilize. It's
sometimes they fouled you, and you should just force yourself to fall so that
the ref
really sees it. And then sometimes you're being, you know, pardon my French, but sometimes you're being a little bitch about it. Let's be real.
And I'm of the mindset-ish, because again, I can go, depends on what day it is, really where my opinion's going to lie on nuanced details.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if you've chosen a life of sport, then physicality is part of it. And if you can't take an elbow to the face, get the fuck out of here.
Get fuck out. Put your Batman mask on. Get back out there.
Look, you're so scared about it. Put on a Batman mask and go out there and play some ball.
Don't leave the house without your Batman mask. So,
anyway,
it does kind of scare me that both these teams didn't have some of their best players and they were both, you know, down to the wire. But also, we beat Utah. Like they could have beaten us. They had a three-pointer that could have been the dagger.
I did meant to say the Colorado game.
Mm-hmm.
It did kind of feel like we were going to break the 69 rule and could have quite possibly gotten that one, but. Yeah. The 69 rule is a rule because that's just how physics works.
Isn't it insane that that has stuck so true?
Yeah.
Like, truer than ever. Like, in this game, we won 66
stat.
To 65.
Right.
Like,
right.
It's amazing.
And it was a battle the whole way.
Battle the whole way. The last, like, 2 to 3 minutes, we didn't score a fucking bucket, but still managed to win this one. I thought we were going to lose for sure that last shot. I was like, whoa! And there it is. Oh, thank God.
I felt like that was going to miss, but leading up to that with the penalty shots and stuff, I was like, you can't lose like this, though. And I was so afraid that we were going to try and shoot a 3 to seal the deal with a 4-point win.
Yeah.
Rather than do the easy thing and get the 2 points. But they did go for the 2 points, and that was smart. But
oh,
a terrible
boy.
Way to end because that dude was kind of wide open. For
oh,
that
yeah.
Deep
and they're good. They're a great 3-point shooting team.
Yeah. I mean, they proved it. They were lighting up the 3 the whole game when they weren't throwing themselves on the ground and complaining of elbow injury. Little babies.
They are little babies. It was nuts, but on senior night, we won. The crowd
yes,
was good, too. Honestly, the crowd was good.
Was the press conference with
Altman
after this game?
Yeah.
So
after
that's
a win.
What he
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's the part that I think is so intriguing there is that he, it seems like he really does put a whole lot on his shoulders.
Yeah.
Do you think he wants to go to the NIT if they were asked to go?
Oh, he wants to go because it's still good for the program. You know what I mean? Like Jackson Schellstad, Brennan Rigsby, they still get practice time.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, that's what they need. Like, so, yeah. Aaron, so the Pac-12 tournament is among us, and we got to win three games to make it, my man. We got to win three games. Now, fortunately, it's only three. It's not four.
What does that mean? We just have to get to the championship
game? No, we have to win the championship game.
But we only have to play three games. We got to win all the games.
Yep. We have to win win the whole fucking tournament.
We're just lucky that just entails it being three games, increasingly getting harder until you're playing the best actual team in the Pac-12.
Well, that's the funny thing about tournaments is sometimes it doesn't work out that way. Sometimes the best team gets knocked off by a worse team, technically, or a team that you match up better against, and then so you don't have to play the best team.
Who do you think wins? Do Arizona and Colorado meet up? Do they see each other before?
They
the big
shouldn't.
One?
I'll break it down for you right now.
Right.
So, number one, the team that absolutely smoked us the last time we played them, certainly, is Arizona.
Let's not talk about it too long.
Okay, I won't, but they're probably going to be the team that we have to beat. And they last time we played, they kicked the shit out of us.
But there's a situation in this scenario in which they could lose in, like, the second round.
Absolutely. So, this is where we're at. Top four seeds, they all get the first game bye. So we get one of those because we're the fourth. Number one is Arizona. Number two is Washington State, who's actually a pretty great team. Those are our two top 25 teams in the Pac-12.
Oh, congratulations.
Then we got number three, Colorado. Number four, us. Yeah. So in our bracket, this is who we will most likely face. First of all, the winner of 12 seed Oregon State and 5 seed UCLA.
Well, that's an Oregon State all day.
I mean, maybe. UCLA is definitely, they're kind of weird. They've had, like, overall a bad season, but then they had a stretch where they started, like, winning pretty regularly, and then they kind of fell back to earth again. So they have a pretty bad overall record, but
yeah, no, they understand they understand how gravity works. They'll stay right on earth.
Yeah. We split our two games against UCLA. We won one, lost one. Oregon State, we won both of them, but both of them were pretty close, too. So the winner of that, we will play. If we were to win that game, there's three different teams we could possibly play. And I'll break down that bracket really quick. Because number eight, Washington, plays number nine, USC. Number nine, USC is really having a strong second half of the season. They just beat Arizona to end the regular season. Okay? So they're not doing bad. So number nine, USC, takes on number eight, Washington. Washington, pretty bad, honestly. We beat them both times this season. Washington also announced that at the end of their season, their coach is getting fired. So that's kind of a weird situation. The winner of that game takes on Arizona.
He's getting fired?
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds more to me like look out for this team because they might be like on some like berserker.
Yeah, maybe.
Like rampage war concept.
They could be. Who knows?
Where they're like, we're just going to foul. We don't give a shit. We're just going to fucking foul you. We're going to break you.
Yeah.
And then we'll win with four guys because you're all hurt.
Number eight versus number nine. So they play, then they take on number one Arizona.
Okay.
And, you know, maybe USC beats them again. Who knows?
Right, right.
But the winner of that game, we then take on. That game will be on, I think, Friday, March 15th. And then the championship game, which could be, you know, any number of teams, probably either Colorado or Wazoo, but could be anyone. So we will likely have to beat Arizona in order to win. But either way, we got to do three games. Three games in 3 days with basically eight players. players on the roster. I mean, we got a couple walk-ons, but basically 8 playable players, which is possible, but we got to be a little bit better than we've been these last couple of weeks.
So
at least a little bit better.
What he's done by saying it out loud is basically also said. What was that?
What?
The Dune? Was that the Dune cup?
Yeah, I just flashed the Dune popcorn bucket because I thought it was funny. I thought it distracted you. Continue.
Yeah, but what he has said basically is that the game plan going into this is they're not. He's going to play them harder now.
Yeah, I think in practice they'll be playing them a lot harder. I mean, you would assume so, but or maybe he's like, but now's not the time to practice hard because we're about to. I don't know. Yeah, I bet you.
But
they're
if
practicing
we win the
harder.
Whole thing, we get to go to the big dance, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is it. It's now or never.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it. You got to stop doing it. I think it's the worst marketing idea I've ever seen. I mean, I get it.
I keep flashing the Dune bucket,
but
for
it's
for non-watchers.
It's a vibe. I don't understand it.
I just think it's funny.
Oh yeah, no, it's hilarious. But I think that's why it was designed that way. It's the blatancy.
You think they designed this bucket to fuck it?
No, I think they designed this bucket to make these types of situations constantly happen because they've realized the virality of the ridiculous.
Yeah.
So we're entering a stage in American culture where we exist in a hyper reality in which these over the top situations become the norm, and we expect that to be the norm, and blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
I see it as a cancer, Adam, just like...
Aaron, we've come down to there's nothing more to say besides
right.
It's tourney time, baby. All our cards are on the table. If Shellstad's gonna be a legend, this is the time legends are made. Let's do it for Dante. Let's do it for his mama and Molly. God damn.
I mean,
what do you think? What do you think happens? Let's get your predictions.
I think we go down in the second round.
Oh, well, that's likely.
For us. So the second game.
So Arizona, probably.
I mean, they handed us our ass, dude.
Yeah.
I don't know how. And it wasn't like we looked bad in that game. We were performing, it appeared, as well as we had the game prior to it.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't equal the same amount that they have to do. But also, they're going to be going through the same kind of rigmarole. Who knows what they look like after you've worked them hard 2 days in a row.
Yeah.
It's tough, scary man. Stuff.
I mean...
Prediction is we win the first game by 8. We win the second game by 1.
Oh, but you said we were going to lose the second game.
Not anymore.
Oh, okay.
And then we win the big thing, the whole dealio, through just some actual sheer luck. Like, something turned on and we're draining 3s.
Aaron, I'm going to go with exactly your prediction, but I'm going to add at the... I mean, my name is Adam. You knew it was coming. The championship game, I think we win because Jackson Shellstad completely flops at the right moment and gets 2 easy free throws for the win.
Okay. What's his name? Biddle?
Nate Biddle is not playing because he's sick, but probably
for sure.
Not. I'm fairly – it's not 100% for sure, but I'm fairly certain – Dana Altman said that he was shutting him down for the season.
But this ain't the season. This is postseason.
I mean, that's true, but he's probably not.
We've already discovered that Altman will say one thing, but mean the opposite thing. He said, I've been too soft on defense, which means he's going to be hard on defense. Out for the season? In for the postseason? Maybe.
That's pretty funny.
I just hope kid's okay. That's the shit that scares me is that we don't know what nobody's talking about what it is. And it's not like we deserve to know because because that.
I agree.
Anywho.
Hopefully we're happy next week talking about these teams.
Maybe we'll have a Batman.
Maybe we'll have a Batman. Maybe we are the Batmans that we want to see so much in this world. Well, Aaron, this has been the Quackville Podcast.
Amen, brother.
Yeah. I mean, for some reason, I really feel like seeing Dune Part 2 again, maybe getting some popcorn.
Did you get popcorn? How much does that thing cost? $20?
I did. Did I get popcorn for the Dune? I think I just got a Rice Krispie treat and a bottle of water.
Sure.
And the IMAX, like the IMAX soundscape.
Oh, wow.
I swear to God, it shook my bladder. It was so loud, and I had to go to the bathroom twice. I didn't get the Dune popcorn bucket, though. It's just too expensive. I saw it.
How much was it?
I didn't want to buy it. I didn't even want to. I assumed way too much money because I went to a big.
$26?
It's probably. Let's see. I'm going to see. We're going to end this podcast with me live Googling how much Dune popcorn bucket is.
We're incentivizing nerds to hang on to this stupid piece of plastic for the next 20 years so that they can resell it for cryptocurrency.
God fucking damn it, Aaron. First thing that pops up is an article that's saying people are reselling these motherfuckers for over $800 online.
Of course they are.
God damn it, I needed to buy a popcorn bucket.
There was a beautiful moment in Seattle.
They cost $25.
Right, yeah, that makes sense. So there was a beautiful moment in Seattle history where we had a weed festival, you know, when it was still not legal.
Yeah.
And good times. You go to the weed festival and just all smoke weed and listen to fucking all
Hemp Fest.
Hemp Fest.
I used to work at a diner across the street from Hemp Fest, dude. I could tell you some stories.
So there was one year that was awesome because the Seattle PD, when they were cool.
Back when they were cool, bro.
Back when they were cool, dude. Were handing out bags of Dorito chips that had a sticker slapped to them talking about, we know you're smoking weed, so here's a snack.
Yeah.
Those fuckers were getting resold on eBay immediately. This was a free snack.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds of dollars. It's.
God damn it. I didn't know me not buying that goddamn Dune fleshlight was going to be the worst financial decision I made in 2024.
Oh, dude, you should have. I mean, it's obvious. Once you recognize the American propaganda machine, there's nothing to do but profit from it. It's a totally corrupted system that allows you to take advantage of anyone below you.
Well, all I can say is that you are the Muad'Dib.